Chapter 15. Oliver's history is explained. 2 days later, Oliver was travelling towards the town where he was born. Mrs. Maylie, Rose, Mrs. Bedwin and Dr. Losburn were in the carriage with him, while Mr. Brownlow and Harry Maylie followed behind. Oliver was very quiet. Mr. Brownlow had told him everything that he had learned about monks. But he had made sure that no news of the terrible murder of Nancy or what had happened at Jacob's Island had reached Oliver's ears. As they got nearer the town he remembered so well, Oliver could not stay silent.
"See there," he cried to Rose, pointing out of the window. "Those are the hedges I hid behind, and there's the path I followed through the fields."
They drove through the town, passing Mr. Sowerbury's coffin shop and then the workhouse. Everything looked just as it used to, as if he had left it yesterday and all his recent life had only been a happy dream. They drove straight to the door of the grandest hotel, which Oliver used to think was a palace, and went inside. The gentlemen hurried in and out of rooms with anxious faces. Mrs. Maylie was called away and came back crying. Oliver and Rose watched this nervously, not understanding. Then, at 9 p.m, Mr. Brownlow came into the room with Mrs. Maylie and another man. Oliver nearly screamed when he saw him. It was the same strange man who he had run into when Rose had been ill, the same man who had been with Fagin outside Mrs. Maylie's country cottage, looking at him through the window. Monks looked at Oliver with pure hate in his eyes and sat down near the door. Mr. Brownlow walked over to a table near Oliver and Rose.
"This child," Mr. Brownlow said to Monks, laying his hand on Oliver's head, "is your half-brother, the son of your father, my dear friend Edwin Leaford. His mother was poor young Agnes Fleming, who died giving birth to him in this town."
"Yes, at the workhouse," said Monks. "Now you listen to me. My mother went to Rome when my father became ill there. She didn't care about him, but she went to take care of his business, and she took me with her. With the papers on my father's desk were two envelopes for you, Mr. Brownlow. One of these envelopes contained a letter to Agnes. The other contained a will."
"What was in the letter?" asked Mr. Brownlow.
"The letter to Agnes explained that he couldn't marry her, but that he loved her and was leaving money to her to help her and her child. He reminded her of the necklace he had given her and asked her to wear it next to her heart."
"And the will?" asked Mr. Brownlow.
Monks was silent.
"Then I shall say what was in the will," said Mr. Brownlow. "Your father talked about his unhappy marriage and how badly you behaved as his son. He left you and your mother £800 a year each, but most of his money he left to Agnes Fleming and her child. However, if the child was a boy, the money would only go to him if he never did any wrong. If he did, the money would go to you instead. Your father did this knowing that Agnes's child would be kind and gentle like her and could never do any wrong."
"My mother did the right thing," said Monks. "She burned the will and she kept the letter to Agnes. After my mother died, I gave the letter to Fagin and now you have got it back. Before your mother died, she came to find me,
said Mr. Brownlow. She told me that when you were 18, you had robbed her and gone to London. She searched for you and finally found you.
Yes, I went with her to France, where she died, said Monks. On her deathbed, she told me about the woman she hated and that woman's child. She was sure that Agnes had had a son, and I promised my mother I'd find that child, make him a thief, and make his life miserable.
You gave Fagin a large reward for keeping Oliver and turning him into a thief, Mr. Brownlow said, part of which he had to give back if he failed.
Then Mr. Brownlow turned to Rose and took her hand in his.
Don't be afraid, my dear, he said. Your mother knew Agnes had a younger sister too, Mr. Brownlow continued to Monks. Do you know this young lady?
Yes, replied Monks.
I've never seen you before, said Rose in a small voice.
I've seen you often, answered Monks. After Agnes ran away, her father went to Wales with his younger daughter and changed his name so that no one could find him. Soon after Agnes died in the workhouse, her father died in Wales and no one knew who he was. His little daughter was looked after by some poor villagers who brought her up as their own child. My mother found the child after a year of searching and told the family the truth about her sister, Agnes. Then the child led a miserable life until by chance she was seen by a lady who felt sorry for her and took the little girl away with her. I didn't see the girl again until a few months ago.
Do you see the girl now? Asked Mr. Brownlow.
Yes, she is standing next to you, replied Monks.
My dearest Rose, the girl I saved, cried Mrs. Maylie. The kindest and the best of friends, said Rose, putting her arms around Mrs. Maylie. This is too much to bear. My heart will break. You've been hurt very much, yet have always been the best and gentlest girl that ever lived, said Mrs. Maylie. Now remember this poor child who waits beside you, for you are his aunt.
Not aunt,
cried Oliver, throwing his arms around Rose's neck.
I'll never call you aunt, but sister, my own dear sister Rose.
Oliver and Rose were left alone a long time to cry tears of happiness and sadness mixed together. At last there was a knock on the door. It was Harry Maylie. Oliver quietly left the room.
I know everything, dear Rose, said Harry, taking her hand. I've come to ask again if you will marry me. If you still say no, I won't try to change your mind.
It is painful to me, said Rose, but I must answer the same way as before.
But everything in my life has changed except my love for you, said Harry. I decided that if my world could not be yours, then I would make your world mine. The rich relatives I have, who once thought of helping me, look coldly on me now because I've chosen a different life. In a village next to the church, there's a simple cottage for the priest, which I want to share with you. A life there with you will make me 1,000 times happier than the life I've given up.
Within 3 months, Rose and Harry were married, and they went to the little cottage next to the church, where Harry became the priest.
Mrs. Maylie lived with her son and daughter-in-law, and she spent the rest of her days in peace and happiness. The money left by Oliver and Monks's father was shared between them, giving them £3,000 each. Oliver happily agreed to give Monks half, even though he did not have to. Monks disappeared abroad with his share of the money, but he spent it quickly, returned to his old ways, and died in prison. Mr. Brownlow adopted Oliver as his son. They moved with Mrs. Bedwin to a house about a mile from Rose and Harry Maylie's cottage, and Oliver's happiness was as perfect as is possible in this changing world. Inside the old village church, there is a white stone with the single word Agnes on it, where two young people can often be found together. Penguin Readers, Oliver Twist, Charles Dickens, Level 6, retold by Kate Williams, illustrated by George Cruikshank, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.